Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to pray, and then we're going to get into the word. Lord, we just thank you. We thank you, Lord, that you are an awesome God. You're a God who is humorous. You're a God who's personal. You're a God who is the same yesterday and today and forever. And we just thank you, Lord, for your presence. I just ask, Lord, that tonight that you would recharge our batteries, that you would help us not just to make it through this week, but to help us to be a light that shines. You know, your word says that we're supposed to be a city on a hill that shines brightly. And Lord, we just want to be that. Help us to shine brightly for you, and help us just allow us to soak up your word tonight. We thank you, Lord, for the rain of your spirit. We thank you for your spirit that leads us and guides us into all truth. And we just welcome that truth tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it has been a day. I tell you what, it has been a day. And I am collecting myself as we go along. But you know what? Praise God. God is good. And we're here. And I'm excited. I'm excited about this word because it was something that I needed. And I know that there's something that God has for you here tonight. That's something that I always remember. I believe it was Eric's dad, Jason Meehan, that had said once, one of the times that he was here, is that we've got to change our attitude about church and service. And sometimes we come in and it's like, oh gosh, it's this person preaching, or oh no, you know, or oh, they're so boring, or whatever. There's a reason that God has us here, and regardless of whoever's preaching, if they're preaching the word, there's something in there for you. And there's something that God wants you to receive, even if it's one thing, one nugget out of the whole service. There's a reason that we're there in that service. There's a reason you're here tonight. And so always keep an open mind, despite who's preaching. And I sure hope you don't say that when you see me up here. Hallelujah. All right. Well, recently in my personal studies and time with the Lord, I've been reflecting and kind of going deeper into wisdom, studying wisdom, the requirements, the benefits. I was recently reading about Solomon, and King Solomon, you know, the Lord asked him, basically in a dream, he asked him, you know, what would you like? Pretty much, open-ended question. What do you want? Ask and I'll give it to you. And Solomon, instead of asking for, you know, 100 wives and $10 million and, you know, to be the best looking guy and to have the most whatever, he asked for wisdom so that he could govern God's people correctly. He asked him, show me what is wrong and what is right so that I can govern your people correctly. And because Solomon asked for wisdom, God blessed him with everything else that he didn't ask for. He said, because you asked for wisdom, I'm going to give you fame, glory, riches, all these things. It pleased God so much that he just wanted wisdom. And I don't know about you, but I need more wisdom in my life. Wisdom how to better parent. Wisdom how to better deal with our finances and how to spread that. You know, we need wisdom in our life. How to deal with people. Wisdom is something that is vital to our survival. And wisdom, I looked it up in Webster's Dictionary, and it's a noun. It says ability to discern inner qualities and relationships. Means insight, good sense, or judgment. It also means accumulated philosophical or scientific learning, aka knowledge. Okay? Wisdom also means a wise attitude. I love when the dictionary says you look up something, it's like wisdom, to be wise. Like, okay, thanks, you know. But a wise attitude, belief, or course of action. It also means the teachings of ancient wise men. Right. So wisdom basically means is that you've got good sense, you've got good judgment, you make the right choice, you're smart, all of those things. Those are all good things. Now, is it wise, or do we, just in life and learning and growing up, do you or can you believe everything that you hear? No. We cannot. We cannot believe everything that we hear. We can't believe everything that we see. We can't believe everything that we read. There is a lot of misinformation in the world. A lot of it. And it's getting harder and harder to decide what isn't true and what is true. Because you have so many people saying that this is true, this is true, this is true. And then you have so many other people saying that is wrong, that is wrong, that is wrong. What is truth? What is truth? What is a lie? How do we know the difference? Knowledge is power, but knowledge also changes. We get fed a lot of lies over the course of our life, and through experience, life, growth, maturity, we begin to know what is truth and what wasn't. When I was little, I had a tia that used to tell me if I didn't behave, the kukui was going to come and get me. Now, I believed that as truth. And as I grew older, I realized the kukui's not real, you know. Or if I didn't listen, that, you know, I've heard other, one of my other friends told me that, like, she tells her kid she's going to call police if he, you know, gets bad grades or whatever. Like, you know, we tell kids things. The tooth fairy, stuff like that. And as you grow, you kind of learn, oh, okay, you learn what's true and what isn't. In Hosea 4:6, it says, the Lord says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And I'm sorry, I didn't, the scriptures aren't up there. I didn't get a chance to talk, give them to them ahead of time. But Hosea 4:6 in the King James Version says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. So if knowledge is power, lack of knowledge is a dangerous thing. People are destroyed for not having good sense. And in the New Living Translation, it was really interesting. It says, my people are being destroyed because they don't know me, is what the New King James, New Living says. Says, my people are being destroyed because they don't know me. So why is it important to have a relationship with God? Because he knows the right way for us to go in everything. He is wisdom. And if there's anybody we want to learn from, you know, just like in school, I was pretty smart. I was in the top 10% of my class. I graduated with a 4.0 GPA. In college, that wasn't so much the case. But high school, I did really good. But there were those kids that were like, I was smart, but there were kids that were like super smart, you know, like just stupid smart. Like they were just like, they didn't even have to study or nothing. And you get to class and you're like, I'm going to sit by them. You know, if there's somebody that's smarter than you, you want to kind of sit by them, learn from them, be like them, kind of glean off of them. And if there's anybody we want to glean off of, it's the Lord, right? He knows the way to go. He knows what we need to do. So I was thinking about it, and there's that saying, you know, if you know what's good for you, you're going to do this. You better do this if you know what's good for you. And people say that a lot as a threat. But, you know, we don't always do what's good for us. We don't always know what's good for us. And sometimes we do know what's good for us, and we still don't do it anyways, like eating our vegetables and exercising and doing all that kind of stuff. We all know, but we still don't do it sometimes, right? But God always knows. He always knows what's good for us. He always knows. He's never wrong. He's never misinformed. He never changes his mind. He would never steer us the wrong way. He is wisdom itself. He always knows what's good for us. In Psalms 5:8, David cried out to the Lord. In Psalms 5:8, he says, lead me in the right path, O Lord, or my enemies will conquer me. Make your way plain for me to follow. Lead me on the right path, O Lord, or my enemies will conquer me. make your way plain for me to follow. That pretty much goes kind of with Hosea, where God said, my people perish for lack of knowledge. They're being destroyed for lack of knowledge. Also in Proverbs 1, 32 and 33, and if you want to gain some insight and wisdom, I encourage you, read a chapter a day. There's pretty much one for every day of the month. It's awesome. And it really does. It really encourages you, and it kind of slaps you around a little bit with some wisdom, and it's good. It's good. So Proverbs 1, 32 and 33 says, for simpletons turn away from me to death, but all who listen to me, and this is wisdom speaking, will live in peace, untroubled by fear of harm. But all who listen to wisdom will live in peace, untroubled by fear of harm. Proverbs 2:12 says, wisdom will save you from evil people, from those whose words are twisted. Sometimes the words that people give us or say to us or things that we hear, they're twisted. They're not true. And it says here in the Word of God that wisdom will save you from evil people and will save you from those twisted words or the lies. Now, there's a lot of things, and unfortunately, there's a lot of believers and just people that believe a lot of falsehoods, a lot of lies, pretty much. And tonight, I want to talk about some truths. Some truths. And right now, there are a lot, but right now I'm only going to say three irrevocable truths about God, unchangeable truths about God. Number one is that God cannot lie. It is impossible for him to lie. Titus 1:2 and Numbers 23:19 both say that God cannot lie. It is impossible, impossible for God to lie. And that brings me to my second point. The second irrevocable truth is that God only speaks the truth. If God cannot lie, that means whatever he says is true. And whatever he says comes to pass. God's words are creative. They are life. I mean, his very first documented words were what? Let there be light. And there was light. Let there be, those first words that are documented in the Word of God, they are still going out. You know, scientists still haven't found the edge of creation. The closer they get, the further they realize it goes. And there are scientists that say that it's just expanding, ever expanding. God's Word from the beginning is still going, still going. That gets me excited. I don't know. I like science. I like space, all of that. It is still going forth. And he says that in the word, that my word will go forth and accomplish its purpose. That beginning, that first word is still going out today. Hallelujah. His word is the ultimate reality. What he says is, it is. Let there be light, there was light. It is. What he says goes. And finally, my third point is that God knows what's best and has the best for us in mind. Not only does he know what's best, but he has the best for us in mind. How awesome is that? How awesome is that? That not only does God know what needs to happen, but he's looking out for us. He's looking out for you. He wants you prosperous. He wants you blessed. Why? Because you're a reflection of him. Just like you don't want your kids looking dirty, I tell him, like, sometimes he wants to walk out of the house looking like a hobo. I'm like, babe, people are going to think nobody loves you. Get back in the house. Change your shirt. You are not leaving the house like that. We are a reflection of God. We are a direct reflection of him. So just like we want our kids to look good, we want them to have nice things because they're a reflection of us. We want people to know that they're cared for, that they're loved, that they are cherished. God's the same with us. The Bible says that he took our filthy rags and gave us new clothes. I mean, he wants us to the nines. He wants us looking good, feeling good, acting good, because we're his babies. And unfortunately, a lot of the church is acting like a hot mess, not being a very good representation, believing some false truths. But God knows what's best, and he has the best for us in mind. Jeremiah 29:11, and we say this verse a lot. But you know what? We say it, we got to say it till we get it. And then when we get it, say it some more so we get it a little deeper. But Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I," and this is God talking, it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you." Say, "Prosper me." "Plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you a future and a hope." That is God's plans for you. Not only just for you to survive, but to thrive. He wants us thriving, not surviving. Blessed. "Plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you a future and a hope." Isaiah 55, 8 through 9, another one. Another one that we talk about a lot. It says, "For my thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord, and my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." Sometimes what we think is right is actually wrong. Shocker. Sometimes what I think is right, so right, is actually so wrong. I've used this example before, but, you know, everybody can testify to this, most of us. Young love, junior high, you like that guy, and you're like, "Oh, I'm going to marry him." And you write his name in your notebook, and you see, like, what is my name going to be like with his name and all these things. You're so wrong, so wrong. And then you get older, and there are guys that I used to like, and like, oh, I was so heartbroken, things didn't work out. And now I'm like, thank God. Thank God. He knew what he was doing, and I thought it was so right. And he's looking at me, he's like, "That is so wrong. That is not, no, no, no." Kids, my kids, when a kid, you know, they're doing something and Noah thinks it's a good idea to go and like play with Mitch's hand drill and do these things, and in his mind, he's going to fix something and he's going to do it, and I see it, I'm like, "No, don't fix that. You're going to break it." But in his mind, he was so right and he was so wrong. Yeah. Mitch, are you in here somewhere? Are you in the sunshine room? Can you do me a favor, Peter? Can you ask us to make sure it's not on mute? She keeps calling. All right, thank you. All right. So, his ways are higher than our ways, and our thoughts higher than our thoughts. So when we think we are so right, sometimes God knows better. He knows better. Another example is we had been looking for a house for a few years, and we'd find one, we'd go see it. I loved it. I could picture us there. My God, this must be God. I love this. I love this house. It's perfect for us. Things wouldn't work out. I'd be heartbroken. Over and over and over again. And this Friday, we're planning to close on a house. God gave us a house. He literally just parted the seas for this to happen. It's ridiculous. And that, I'll share that testimony another time. But God made a way. And we are getting a house, not only a house, but with land and everything that we wanted, everything. And Billy, who goes to this church too, I work with him, and he's like, "I just can't believe God, like everything you guys wanted, he's giving you." And I was driving around the other day and thinking about all the other houses that I was so sad didn't work out. And I would get angry with God, like, "God, why did you even let me look at that? Like, why would I even get my hopes up and it wasn't meant to be," and all these things. He was preparing us. He was helping prepare us for the best. For the best. He has the best for us in mind. And sometimes when we're so upset about a door closing, you may be so upset a job didn't work out. Something didn't work out. It's like, oh, you're so upset. It's because God has something better for you. Just trust him. Because he has the best for you in mind. And someday, you may not see it right now, but someday you'll see the bigger picture. Someday you'll see the bigger picture. I can't wait till we get to go to heaven and I can say, God, show me why. And I'm so excited. You know why? Because he has the best in mind for us. He always has the best in mind for us. So even when we don't understand, we can always trust him and worship him and just be excited because we have that promise that he never has a twisted motive. He never has an alternative motive. He never has a different agenda. It is always to have the best for us. He always has the best for us in mind. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy 2:13, this is one of my favorite scriptures, says that even if we are unfaithful, even when we blow it, even when we mess up, when we hit the dirt, face first, rolling down the mountain, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny who he is. He is faithfulness. He is goodness. God can't change who he is. What he says happens. He is truth, faithfulness, and he is reality. So if God is truth, then he can't deny who he is, and he is ultimate goodness. On the reverse side of things, Satan also can't deny who he is, and he is a liar. He's a liar. We're going to talk a little bit about the devil, okay? There is no truth in him. If there is no falsehood in God, there is no truth in the devil. There is no goodness. John 8:44 says, is describing Satan, it says, he was a murderer from the beginning. He has always hated the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, it is consistent with his character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Yeah. In our house, we treat lying very seriously. Very seriously. Because the Bible says that Satan is the father of lies. And when our kids want to lie, and y'all know kids, they try to pull some fast ones. And we talk to them. It's like, do you know who likes liars? And I get right. Who likes liars? The devil. Do you like the devil? No. Do you want to make him happy? No. Then we don't lie in this house because we want to make God happy. And when you lie, not only does it hurt mommy and daddy, but it makes the devil happy. Do you want to do that? No. Then we don't lie. We don't lie. Amen. The devil can't speak truth because truth implies goodness and justice, and there is none of that in Satan. Do you ever know somebody who you, it's like, you can't believe a word they say. You never know what's the truth, what's the lie. It all just comes out, and like, I'm just not going to believe any of it because I don't even know what's true, what's a lie, whatever. Just throw it all out. That's the same with the devil. We can't believe anything he says. And he is out there working hard to steal, kill, and destroy. The word says that he is out there roaming. He roams the earth like a lion, seeking those who he can devour. He's busy feeding his lies to the world. And we see it all around us. You know, I don't need to tell you. He's feeding the world so many lies. Today, in my own personal world, he was feeding me lies. You can't handle this. You can't do this. Oh, you know, everything's going to happen because they're not here. You can't handle this situation. You don't know what you're doing. All these things that were not true, and yet he was there trying to get me to accept them. He roams around seeking those that he may devour, and it's up to us to say, no, you may not. You may not. It says that he, those that he can devour, and it's up to us whether we let him get to us, or we choose truth. So how do I know what is a lie? That's easy. You gotta know the truth to know what's a lie, right? And what is truth? more like the question I should ask is, who is truth? Who is truth? And is there maybe possibly a manual, some kind of a manuscript that I could read to possibly know, you know, what does this person who is all truth, this being that knows exactly what I need to do, how can I find out what is what he says about me and my life and what he wants me to do? Is there maybe possibly anything out there, some kind of resource that we have? Our Bible, our word, your word. Your word, it's the Bible. In Ephesians chapter 6, it talks about the armor of God. And it says, put on the whole armor of God so that when the day of testing comes, not if, but when the enemy attacks, you'll have everything that you need, not just to survive, but to thrive, to conquer the enemy. Verse 17 in Ephesians 6 says, take up the sword of the Spirit, which is our own emotions. No. It says, take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. This book right here is your sword. This is your weapon to combat the lies that the devil tries to feed us on a day-to-day basis. Jesus himself was tempted by the devil. Just when he got baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit, it says the Holy Spirit led him into the desert to be tempted. Sometimes when you feel like everything's great, everything's going good, all of a sudden something comes in, tries to steal your joy, tries to mess you up. Jesus himself was tempted, and being tempted is not a sin, because even Jesus himself was tempted, and the word says, yet he did not sin. Being tempted is not a sin. It's what you do in the tempting that decides that. For 40 days, he was tempted by the deceiver in the desert, and Jesus cut him down. He cut him down. He destroyed the lies of the enemy, and how did he do it? I mean, he was out there fasting. He was out there fasting and praying for 40 days. He didn't eat for 40 days. We get hangry after 40 minutes. Yeah. I have relatives where it's like, get them a piece of bread or something because I cannot be around them. They are hungry. Maybe that's you. Maybe that's me. I don't know. But 40 days, can you even imagine that? So Jesus, in his quote-unquote weakened state, even though he wasn't weak, but having fasted for 40 days, that's pretty extreme. Satan came to him in that time of physical testing. And even though he was vulnerable, he was tired and hungry, yet he did not sin because even in that spot, he knew the difference between the truth and the lie because he knew his Father who was truth. He had the word inside of him. And when the devil said, it came to him and said, if you're the Son of God, da-da-da-da-da, well, and Jesus would answer him, but the scriptures say, but the scriptures say, and he cut him down with the truth of the word. The Bible says that our weapon, the weapons of our warfare are mighty, mighty. This is your weapon. This is your truth. It's not what the doctor says. It's not what your boss says. It's not what anybody says, like, I'm not saying don't respect your boss or your doctor or whoever, but this is ultimate truth. Ultimate truth. 2 Corinthians 10:4 says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds. This is not meant to just sit on your coffee table at home or next to your bedside and collect dust and be a coaster for your coffee. This is your weapon. This is your weapon. You know, we're an open carry state, right? Yes? We are an open carry state, Mitchell? Yes. Okay. When Mitch first got a gun, I remember I was so embarrassed. He open carried to Food City. And I'm like, we're going to get shot in Food City. He's like, I don't care. It's open carry state. You know what I mean? But you know what? I open carry all the time. I carry this with me in my purse. I have it with me all the time. This is your weapon. This is your weapon. You don't need, I'm not going to go there, but I'm going to say this. This is your weapon. And so when the enemy comes, and he will come, it's a promise, because until judgment day, when he's finally thrown into the lake of fire for all eternity, he's still here, and he's still going to try to get you with lies. That's how he works, with lies, with fear. And fear is a lie. Because the word says that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power and love and sound mind. We get all that by knowing the truth. Satan is a deceiver, but you have the sword that is the word that cuts him down to size. He wants to get us to believe his lies, and that's when he can control and affect us. So are we going to tolerate accepting falsehood? Are we going to settle for less than best? I'm going to read Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 15 through 20. This is from the New Living Translation. It says, now listen. Well, it says it with the exclamation point. Now listen. Say, I'm listening. Today I am giving you a choice between life and death, between prosperity and disaster. For I command you this day to love the Lord your God and to keep his commands, decrees, and regulations by walking in his ways. And if we walk with God, if we're going to have prosperity, how does that happen? Through wisdom. How do we get wise? By being with God. Then it goes on to say, if you do this, you will live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you and the land you are about to enter and occupy. Say that, I'm occupying. But if your heart turns away and you refuse to listen, and if you are drawn away to serve and worship other gods, that can include yourself, your own emotions, then I warn you now that you will certainly be destroyed. And I hear that. Being our own thoughts, our own mind, our own emotions, that can destroy. That can distract and hinder. Being in your own thoughts, in your mind, can be a dangerous place. You will not live a long, good life in the land you are crossing the Jordan to occupy. Verse 19 says, today I have given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Oh, that you would choose life so that you and your descendants might live. You can make this choice by loving the Lord your God, obeying him, and committing yourself firmly to him. This is the key to your life. And if you love and obey the Lord, you will live long in the land the Lord swore to give your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. If we love God, and we read his word, and we learn his truth, which is his word, we become wise. Because he is wise, he is wisdom, and as we learn from him and learn to be more like him, we emulate him, and he is wisdom. So as we become more like him, that's the wiser we get. And the wiser we get, the easier it becomes for us to discern what is falsehood and what is true. I had a cat growing up, her name was Marshmallow, and she was fat. She was lazy, she was cute, I loved her. Sassy. And she used to like to eat Cheez-Its. I don't remember how we figured out that she liked. I think she would come up behind us and we're sitting on the couch, we'd be eating, and then she'd come up and she'd like. Cat, if you have a cat, you know how they do that. They tap you. And she loved to eat Cheez-Its. She was fat, and it was just cute to feed a fat cat a Cheez-It. And as she got older and fatter, we realized we were probably hurting her by feeding her Cheez-Its. So we decided we'll switch to low fat. We'll switch to low-fat Cheez-It. At least that won't be as bad, right? Less fat for her. She wouldn't eat them. She wouldn't eat the low-fat Cheez-Its. She, like, did that thing where you hand the cat thing, like that. You know, cats are, bleh. And I'm like, really, really? She knew the difference between the knockoff Cheez-Its, the low-fat Cheez-Its, and the real Cheez-Its. And she wanted the real stuff. She was able to recognize the knockoffs. And that's how we need to be. Satan likes to feed us stuff that looks a lot like the truth. But if we know God enough, and if we are close enough to him, that's where relationship is so important. That's when relationship is so important. Because then you can recognize the falsehood, even if it looks the same, looks like a good direction, looks like a good choice to make, but something inside of you is saying, the spirit inside of you, that still small voice, so we got to listen to this, saying, I don't think so. Hey, psst, psst. Don't do that. Hey, psst. It looks good, but I've got better for you. Just wait. Don't do that. Don't be with that person. It's not going to be good later on down the road. But they're so cute. They're so good looking. It's going to make all my friends jealous. Don't do it. Thanks. Thank you, Peter. He sent me a text. He said, you should name the sermon The Real Cheez-It. Hallelujah. But when we're closer to God, that's the point, is when you get relationship with someone, you learn, you can recognize the knockoffs. Just like when you know somebody so well and somebody else calls and say, this is so-and-so. And you're like, no, it's not. Who is this? Who is this? This isn't you. Like, who is this? You learn, you know. And ultimately, I know we're past 8 o'clock, but I just feel like there's some of us that are being whispered these lies and false truths, and they look good, and they might. But if you're familiar with God, and I encourage you to get more familiar with him, he wants us to recognize the lies a lot easier. That's why having the sword and putting on the armor of God is so important, because Satan wants you to get off track. He wants you to get out of your purpose. He wants you to ruin your testimony. He wants you to be in fear, in lack, in sickness, in doubt, in anger, in unforgiveness. All these things that the world tends to thrive on. He doesn't want you there. If you let God move in, then you guys can move on together. So if we're familiar with the truth, with the Lord, we're going to recognize the falsehoods. In the Bible, it talks about sheep a lot. Even the Lord's described as a good shepherd, and it talks about how sheep, they know the master's voice, and they don't follow another. They won't follow another because even in darkness, they know the master's voice. I was driving around town one day trying to get the kids to nap. And I was driving around in Bay Acres, and there's a house that we always go by because they have horses across the street. They live here, and the horses live in a pasture or an open field across the street. We don't really have pasture here, but an open field. And I was driving up. The owners of the horses came up the street the opposite way. And the horses, it was amazing to see. I was also coming up. Around the same time, same direction, opposite direction. That sounds like a math problem. Ugh. Two cars are coming, going the opposite direction, whatever. But I'm coming up one way, and the owner is coming up a different way, and they pull up in front of the house, and I'm kind of passing right at the same time. The horses didn't give me a second look. They didn't care. But I watched them, and they heard the car. They recognized the car. And dogs do this, but I didn't know that horses did this. My dogs, Mitch can drive up. I mean, he's coming from two blocks away, and I know he's coming because the dogs get all excited before they even see him. But the horses did this. They heard the car of the master coming. They picked up their ears, and they all started running to the fence. The people weren't even parked. They weren't even out of the car, but they recognized the master. They didn't give two hoots about me. They didn't look at me. I drove by all excited, looking at the horses. The kids were, and they didn't care. We weren't their master. When we that's how God wants us to be. So we can recognize his voice, perk up to his voice, and ignore all the other stuff that doesn't matter. So even though we can't see, well, maybe you can, but I can't see in the spirit. We don't see, I don't see the literal, you know, the cartoon like angel and demon on each shoulder trying to get me to go either direction. But there is a spiritual battle out there. The word says that we fight not against flesh and blood, but principalities and rulers and things of an unseen world. The devil's out there fighting hard for you. Why? Because God loves you. And he hates God, and he hates everything that God loves. And so by default, that means he hates you. I'm sorry. And he wants to get you off track. Distracted, discouraged, misinformed, full of false doctrine and all kinds of things. But if we are in tune with God, we know his word, we won't even pay attention to that other stuff or follow that other junk that drives on by. Like, you can go on by. Go on by. So just a question that we need to ask ourselves, and I'm going to close with this, is that why do we, you know, maybe you need to ask yourself, why do I keep falling in the same trap? Why am I allowing this to bother me? That's what I had to ask myself today. Why am I being so bothered by this? Why am I allowing myself to get so worked up over stuff that in the end really doesn't even matter? Why do I keep having this problem? Maybe it's because I'm listening to the voice of an imposter. Maybe it's because I'm being influenced by someone other than God. But take heart. We can still learn to hear his voice. We can still come up out because he is always there, always there, always there for us. Just like I was in it deep. But yet he's always there, ready to reach and pull us up out. All we got to do is recognize him. You may even not know what to do. It's like, God, I don't even know how I'm supposed to handle this situation, but I ask you to give me peace and to give me wisdom. Just help me. He's going to bless you for it. Look at what he did to Solomon. Solomon asked for wisdom. Look at what God did for him. And he's not a respecter of persons. He doesn't play favorites. And he will bless you for asking for wisdom. The word says you have not because you ask not. So begin asking. Ask him because he loves you and he wants to give it to you. Let's stand to our feet. Heavenly Father, first of all, I just thank you for being good. Thank you, Lord, that you cannot lie. You always speak the truth and that you always know what's right and you always have the best rest in mind. We are so grateful and thankful that we get you to call you Abba Father. You're such a great God. Thank you, Lord, that we know you, that we're chosen. You are chosen. Thank you, Lord, that we're chosen. And Lord, right now, I just pray for every person here. I thank you, Lord, for that you have given us weapons. And they are not carnal, but they are strong and mighty for the tearing down of strongholds. And right now, Lord, I just ask that you would expose to us with your light, with the light of your presence, of your love, with who you are, Lord, that you would illuminate our mind and our hearts and expose any hidden places, any falsehoods that may be there. Your word says that your spirit leads and guides us into all truth. And I just ask, Lord, for the Holy Spirit to begin to search our hearts and our minds and expose anything that is falsehood. That we would help us to begin to recognize truth from a lie. Because our enemies are out there. Our adversary is out there trying to distract us and hinder us, but Lord, we turn to you. We ask for wisdom. Lord, I ask for wisdom for those of us that are dealing with difficult situations, dealing with difficult people, dealing with our children, our finances. Lord, whatever area we are in need, Lord, these all of us here tonight, Lord, we just ask for wisdom. Wisdom. Help us to be wise, to make the right choice. Even if a way seems right, your word says that a way can seem right to us, but you know what's best. I just ask for divine direction. I feel like there are some people here tonight, God, that need divine direction. Just pray that you would illuminate, make clear to them the path that they need to take. Make clear to them the words that they need to say, not out of hatred or anger, but out of love and forgiveness. Thank you, Lord, for the sword that is your word. It helps us cut down those strongholds. There's nothing that we can't face, nothing that we can't overcome, because you are with us. There's nothing that you can't overcome because he is with you. He is with you. We thank you, Lord. Help us to be more like you. You've got this because he's got you. You've got this. You've got this. You can handle this because he's got you. He's got you. You've got this because he's got you. He's got your back. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, glory to God. God is good, and we thank, oh, how good is it that we have the word. And I encourage you, take up your sword. Don't leave home without it. Don't start your day without it. Go to bed without it. And have a great and awesome week. We will see you on Sunday. Amen.